front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. On this episode, we're going behind the screens with Greg Dunlap, Senior Digital Strategist at Lullabot. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What does a Senior Digital Strategist do, and how long have you been around? How long have you been with Lullabot?
I've been with Lullabot for about 4.5 years, and I've been in the Drupal community for about 10.5 years. A senior digital strategist, I would say that my role encompasses a lot of things that mostly aren't development, but very tightly related to web projects. So I do a lot of what would traditionally these days be called content strategy, you know, early engagement with clients, doing content audits and gathering requirements and content modeling and talking about how to structure their data, how to build. It's like the technical side. So what fields are we going to build? What taxonomies are we going to have? What formats are things going to be expressed in, and that sort of thing? But also a lot of editorial process, editorial streamlining, a lot around content governance, which is sort of, you know, what content do we want to keep when we're doing migrations? What do we want to get rid of? How are we going to choose what content to highlight on the site? How are we going to choose who creates such content, et cetera? That's been something I've been focused on a lot with a lot of clients lately. A lot of stuff like that, which is really all stuff that has to be sorted out before the actual build starts. So it's sort of a combination of content strategy and technical architect melded into one.
Gotcha. So you're sort of removed from the code now. You're more into all the logistics that go into putting the site together and doing it well so it fits the client's needs.
Yeah, it's true. That's definitely a change that's been happening in my career for the last few years since I started at Lullabot. I'm sort of moving into the bigger picture stuff, as it were, which I've been enjoying a lot, mostly just because I've been coding for basically 20 years at this point. And I find a lot of the really interesting problem solving happens before, ideally anyways, happens before implementation begins. And I'm really, like, honestly fascinated with how people run their business and how their businesses work and how they make their livelihood. And that's been that's probably my favorite part of my job right now.
Being with Lullabot, we get to deal with a lot of larger companies and really robust organizations. What are some of the most common problems that you've run into while working with these different companies when it comes to the digital strategy?
The problem we're encountering a lot is the desire to have layouts and ways to organize pages that feel less templatized, that have a little more freedom to make them look like bespoke pages, even though they're really not. People want to be able to highlight different types of content on landing pages in different ways. They want to be able to have article pages that don't all look the same. They want to be able to really focus their content and distinguish it in a variety of flexible ways, while at the same time acknowledging that mobile is very, very important to them. So this idea of shoving everything into an HTML body field and structuring the page that way won't work. They want to, but at the same time, they don't want their content too structured, because if it's too structured, it removes flexibility. And I would say that that conflict between the desire for less structure and less flex and more flexibility against the desire to have a site that performs really well on mobile is one of the major conflicts that we run into these days. And there's no right answer, and it really all depends on their priorities and their goals and their editorial teams and their editorial governance and workflows and all of that kind of stuff. And that's one of the reasons that we spend so much time talking to them about those things, so that when we come up with a solution, we have one that works right for them and their needs.
Yeah, that sounds like a difficult nut to crack. I imagine everybody's so different, like you're saying. How do you come up with a solid solution that'll work for everyone?
It can be, for sure.
So if you could offer one piece of advice to a company that maybe Lullabot is getting prepared to come in to help, or just someone on their own who's trying to solve the same sort of problem, having flexible layouts and a unique look and feel to their pages while still maintaining that structure to do with mobile and that sort of thing. So what is one piece of advice you could offer them to help get them started or to prepare for someone like us to come in and help them out?
I think that one of the things that I like to recommend, and this doesn't always happen, I'll be honest, it rarely happens, but I think there are ways to handle imagery and media that can be somewhat templatized, but still look really good and really interesting. I mean, people get so tied up with, I want this image right here and I want this text to flow around it kind of thing. And it's really not that necessary. And I understand it, because a lot of people don't want their content to look like everybody else's content. They want it to stand out. They want this thing exactly right there. But I don't think that necessarily serves the needs of the users on the other end, and in a lot of cases. So thinking about ways in which you can get that imagery out somewhere else, or in a standardized way, I think helps out a lot. But you know, we lose that battle all the time, and it's not something that a lot of people usually dive into. I would also think about ways. We find that with a lot of clients, that a lot of the time they don't really even know necessarily what all content they have a lot of the times. And I would say that diving into the content that you actually have and making sure you understand all of the elements that come into making up a page is really important too.
That's something I know I've struggled with a number of times, trying to, even just with smaller clients or when I was doing freelance, trying to figure all of those pieces out and put them together. And I look back on some of those now and think, what the heck was I trying to do?
Yeah, it's funny sometimes too, because it's like, I remember one of my very first Drupal gigs was at the Seattle Times, and we were migrating a website, and we were putting pages together and doing mock-ups and all of this stuff. And we had a weather widget on the page, and at some point we were all just like, does anybody know where this weather widget comes from? Because we obviously don't host weather data. Like, we're not creating our own weather data and putting it into the CMS or anything. And nobody did. And we started talking to people, and it was like, it turned out like this weather widget had been done 5 years ago by somebody who wasn't around anymore. And nobody remembered anything about it or what account it was tied to or how that data got in or how we authenticated with it. And so we had to like do this, like, this, you know, we basically had to do archaeology to try and figure it out. And then another thing was, we had a system that was creating, when people uploaded photos through our classified system, there was a system through which those photos would then get turned into halftones for print. And that was done on a computer which had Photoshop on it and was running an Apple script to turn the stuff into halftones. And it was the same thing. It had been done like 10 years ago. Nobody remembered how it was doing. Re-architecting the Apple script to repeat it was a failure. I spent weeks and weeks with Image Magic trying to replicate what this computer was doing and running tests off of the printers and stuff like that. And finally, they just left it there. You know, it's like, keeping track of that stuff and knowing where everything's coming from and what all the parts of the process is a really big deal, because if you have all of that stuff in advance, then you can like take it all into account when you're planning your project, but running into it when you're in the middle can cause a lot of pain.
Well, let's turn this away from all this work talk, as fun as it is getting into some of those problems. And I'll agree, I do enjoy getting into some of those like architectural pieces myself. I want to know a little bit more about what it's like being Greg. So my first question for you is, if you woke up tomorrow and the internet was gone, had just disappeared, no more internet, no more websites, what is Greg going to do?
Die.
Wow, this really turned dark quickly.
At Lullabot, we have these serendipity calls every Friday, and they put five random people together on a call, and you talk about what's been going on with your lives and stuff like that. And there's always a question to seed the call. And one week, the question was something like, "What would you do?" If you were instantly transported back to the 1800s, and my answer was I would be dead in a gutter within 10 minutes, you know. I have no skills at all that translate to that world whatsoever. I mean, if the internet was gone, I would probably start to fix pinball machines for a living. I would love to do that. But on the other hand, how would I find work? How would I, you know, connect with other people about their problems fixing pinball machines and access all of the technical documentation that I would need? Would I go back to having to collect paper manuals off of eBay and having to put them in a file cabinet? You know, it's like the entire way that we think about the world and our jobs is so, like, you know, do I lose all my Google Docs when the internet goes away?
Oh man, yeah. There's a lot of caveats to this question I hadn't thought of in advance that are starting to arise now in some of these interviews.
Yeah, it's really crazy the way that the internet has changed the way we interact with the world. And part of that is just not needing to keep things like actual physical things. When I moved to Sweden several years ago, I realized that I was carrying around all of this physical stuff, books, records, you know, all of this that I didn't really need to, because while I think that records are extremely cool artifacts, like, I have all my music on my computer, and the fact was I hadn't actually pulled out a record to listen to it in like a year at least. And the removal of those physical goods from our lives out into the cloud or our computers, it's like now all of that stuff has to come back somehow. All of this documentation that's out on the internet has to come back somehow. We have to buy, you know, I'm going to have to buy how to build a React app in 21 days or whatever. I mean, I can't just go and watch Code School videos. Oh my God, YouTube would be gone. My life is over.
All right. So I like this one, and I'm excited and a little scared to see where this goes. But you spent a lot of time in Drupal earlier on in your career, and still even today with most of our sites that we build through Lullabot are Drupal sites. So you're familiar with the module base, and we know that everybody has a spirit animal. I want to know, what is your spirit module, Greg?
My spirit module. Let me see here. Well, okay. Here's a nice answer. The first module I ever wrote was called the deploy module. And, it was for doing content deployment in Drupal way back in the Drupal 5 to 6 days. I guess I started writing it in Drupal 5, but I didn't release it until Drupal 6. And it was working on that project, was the first of my interest in getting into configuration management and deployment stuff, which became sort of a path for me through the Drupal world for a long time. But one of the greatest things about that module to me is that when I agreed to take the initiative for Drupal 8, I was in the middle of a little bit of a rewrite for it, and I knew I wasn't going to finish. I wasn't going to have time to finish, and so I handed it over to a guy named Dick Olson, who worked at Node 1 in Sweden. He works for, I believe, Pfizer in England now, and he took it and really ran with it and turned and started working on these problems really intensely. And now him and another guy from England have been focused on bringing that functionality into Core through Core's content moderation initiative. And to see sort of that path of, first off, all of it ending up in Core 10 years later is really cool in concept, if not in implementation. But the whole concept of, like, you know, this was my baby and I handed it over to something and it grew wings and flew is really exciting. And I've been encouraging people to be more willing to hand over their projects when they're sort of not into them anymore, because I feel like a lot of us have real possessiveness over our projects, and we feel like they're ours and we don't want anyone else to mess them up. But on the other hand, someone else could turn them into something awesome. And that's been like Dick's gateway into the Drupal community too. And so I think that's really great. And that's a module that I feel really good about in my heart because of all of that.
That's a great story. I had no idea that module had come around. I used Deploy back in the day. And now that I think about it, I can remember seeing your name on the project page. But I didn't realize it's come all the way around and is now being considered as the functionality going into core.
Yep. I mean, the content moderation stuff doesn't resemble the Deploy module in any way, shape, or form. And a lot of the functionality that Deploy had isn't necessary anymore because either it's being replicated in core or core functionality has changed and stuff like that. But ideologically, you know, I came into configuration management through Deploy, and Dick came into content moderation through Deploy, and that arc has brought both of those things into core, and that's pretty cool.
So we all got here with a little help from others, I think. No one really got to where they are in this industry on their own. So is there anybody out there that you would like to thank or share a little gratitude with for giving you a push when you needed it, or maybe giving you a start, just helping you along the way?
Oh man, there is so many people. I actually did a whole talk about this once, about how, like, you know, all of the operative things that happened to me in Drupal weren't because because of Drupal per se. It was because of individuals that supported me when I needed. I mean, certainly early on, I remember Jeff Eaton coming to us at Seattle Times because I got introduced to Lullabot through us working with them at my first Drupal gig, and me talking to him about some functionality that I thought was broken in core, and him just saying, oh yeah, you should totally do a patch for that, and me being scared, him being like, no, it's no big deal here, and like kind of walking me through it and stuff like that. Angie Byron encouraging me to get involved with Google Summer of Code when I was around that same time was something that got me into the community closely very early on. I worked with a guy named Gary Love at Seattle Times, who was very encouraging to me to get involved with Drupal, encouraged us to do sort of my first talk about configuration management to the Seattle Drupal users group. Ken Rickard encouraged me to apply to my first Drupal job at Palantir when I was scared to hell of doing that. I mean, over the years, there have been so many people who have been like members of every single local user group I've been involved with, whether it be in Stockholm or in Seattle or in Portland or in Chicago. I couldn't possibly list them all. And then recently I've been really inspired by my work with the Drupal Diversity and Inclusion Working Group, and working with people like Nikki Stevens and Ruby Seinrich and on those problems, which aren't technical at all, but are much more about technology and how we work together and how we think about our relationships with each other as human beings and stuff like that. Is the, you know, and community management and all of that kind of thing, but the stuff that I've been really, really interested in lately. And all of those people are really inspiring.
So Greg, if someone wanted to reach out to you about any of the things we talked about or just say hi, how would they go about doing that?
You can always find me through the Lullabot contact page or through my Drupal.org contact page. My username is HeyRocker on Drupal.org, or in the Drupal Slack, my username is HeyRocker as well.
Well, thanks for taking a few minutes today, Greg. This was really, this was a lot of fun.
Cool. Thank you.
If you're looking to level up your Drupal chops, check out Drupalize Me. Drupalize Me lets you learn Drupal whenever and wherever you need to, with written and video tutorials that cover the full range of Drupal topics. Whether you're just jumping into Drupal or you're a seasoned developer, we are here to help. Check us out at drupalize.me. Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Screens. If you have any ideas for future segments or topics or any comments, reach out on Twitter @VoicesBTS or shoot me an email at chris@lullabot.com. Don't forget to pop onto iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Until next time.